Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you. You're on the BBS Radio Network. If you'd like to call into the show, the number is 888-627-6008. Excuse me. Again, that's 888-627-6008. Let's begin today with a discussion of some of the major news events of recent days. First, of course, nationally, would be the Democrats moving closer to a full U.S. House of Representatives vote on impeachment of President Trump. The Democrats and much of the political establishment seemingly only concern of the past 3 years. I could go over the specifics, but most of you are already aware of them. And if you've been following this political witch hunt and are at least halfway politically aware, you know the Democrats have no real case against Trump. But their fanatical leaders are pushing ahead with impeachment anyway, on the gamble that by telling enough lies and repeating them over and over, enough gullible people will believe them to destroy Trump's support and drive him from office. Here's an audio clip from conservative radio host Rush Limbaugh, December 4, commenting on the so-called nonpartisan law professors called to testify before Chairman Jerry Nadler's House Committee on the supposed constitutionality of Trump impeachment.
Hi, folks, and once again, time for more play-by-play of the news. Are you watching this? I got a bunch of emails today, including from a really good friend in California, said, I had to turn this off, Rush. It's so disturbing. The amount of hate today is so disturbing. I just had to turn it off, and otherwise it would ruin my day. See, I can't turn this stuff off because my job is to do play-by-play of the news, so I'm watching this. If you have heard the term show trial and never quite understood what it is, this is it. This entire thing is a setup. These three so-called law professors are indeed law professors, but they are appearing today as ultra-liberal left-wing hacks disguised as law professors to give this whole proceeding some credibility because the Democrats can't do that on their own. These three people, Feldman, Carlin, and Gerhardt, have obviously been coached. The questions are softball setups unlike I have ever heard. Every one of these witnesses testifying is a fact witness. They're all talking about how Trump sought opposition research against a political opponent from a foreign leader as though they were on the phone call. They were not on the phone call. They don't know what happened outside of the transcript of the phone call. Jonathan Turley, who is the one voice opposed to the impeachment, not a pro-Trumpist, but he's opposed to impeachment, not even asking him any questions. Like Noah Feldman, one of the professors, just said that Trump put personal gain before national security. He doesn't know that. This is nothing more than left-wing political hackery dressed up. And folks, the reason why is because the Democrats, none of their civil servant witnesses captured the American people's attention 2 weeks ago. So they went out now and they've gone over to Nadler's committee and they've got these academics, the smartest people in the world, we are to believe, these law professors. And by virtue of that, they're supposed to be nonpartisan. You see, they're just interested in the law. They're just interested in the Constitution. And they are, they're just uber stinking liberal hacks. Even before the so-called impeachable offenses came up, we are also learning here the Democrat Party is the largest hate group in the country. Is there any doubt that anger and intolerance and delusion are now propelling and running this party? This entire proceeding today is to cater to who the Democrats think the majority of the American people are. The crazed bunch of left-wingers that live and breathe on Twitter.
Now let's hear Fox's Sean Hannity's take on these law professors' testimony. Play soundbite two, please.
Well, consider today's star witness, Pam Carlin. Look up her biography online and you'll see that she's the, quote, Kenneth and Harley Montgomery Professor of Public Interest Law at Stanford. Whoa, stand back, ladies and gentlemen. And before that, she clerked for a Supreme Court justice and earned not one, not two. Ladies and gentlemen, she earned three separate degrees at Yale. She's written several textbooks on constitutional law. If there's one person in this country who is impressive, who our system has deemed capable of making judgments that you don't even understand, it's this lady, this professor, Pamela Karlan. But think again. And this is a sub-theme of the impeachment drama that we'd like to highlight, because really it's a thing that will endure and change the country long after Trump is gone. It turns out the more you know about the people you're supposed to consider impressive, the more you find out they're not impressive at all. Actually, they're not very smart. They have no wisdom. Their personal lives are a disaster. By the way, if they're so wise, why are they so unhappy? Every one of them is. And in this specific case, they're not even unbiased arbiters. Karlan, for example, she's not some apolitical academic pulled out of cold storage to testify about what we ought to do. She's an activist. She's literally a political activist who donates thousands of dollars to the Democratic Party. Watch this.
Professor Karlan, you gave $2,000, or you gave $1,000 to Elizabeth Warren, right?
I believe so.
You gave $1,200 to Barack Obama?
I have no reason to question that.
And you gave $2,000 to Hillary Clinton?
That's correct.
So does donating to Democrats prove that Karlan is wrong? No, it doesn't, actually. She proved that herself. She made it very clear that she was incapable of clear thinking or wise judgments. Instead, she made bizarre claims. She claimed that delaying military aid to Ukraine was just like cutting off rescue services to Americans after a hurricane. What? It's like insane and dumb, by the way. She also engaged in embarrassing political stunts like ridiculing the president's teenage son. What?
What comparisons, Professor Karlan, can we make between kings that the framers were afraid of and the president's conduct today?
The Constitution says there can be no titles of nobility. So while the president can name his son Baron, he can't make him a baron.
Thank you. The founding.
Yeah. I wonder how long they practiced that one in the mirror. It was petty and dumb. Not surprising, though. Karlan has made remarks like this before. She previously suggested that Jeff Sessions was evil. Why? Because of the name his parents gave him. What a mediocrity. In 2006, well before the rest of the left embraced the Great Awakening, Karlan was ahead of the game. She was already bashing people on the basis of their sex, skin color, and sexual orientation. Watch this.
We have to seize back the high ground on patriotism and on love of our country, because we have more reason than they do to love America. Rich, pampered, prodigal, sanctimonious, incurious, white, straight sons of the powerful do pretty well everywhere in the world, and they always have.
This lady needs a shrink. The sons of the powerful, really? You're a law professor at Stanford, and you're lecturing other people about how they're powerful? Right. This is the legendary scholar coming down from on high to tell us who is good and who is evil. Please. What a mediocrity. What a moron. Her fellow witnesses were almost as embarrassing. Noah Feldman, the, quote, Felix Frankfurter professor of law at Harvard Law School, told lawmakers that he was skeptical of impeachment until this past summer, suggesting, of course, that his endorsement was more legitimate. He's not political. But it turns out that was a lie. It was a lie. How do we know? Because all the way back in March of 2017, this same man, Noah Feldman, suggested that Trump should be impeached because of a tweet he sent accusing President Obama of monitoring Trump Tower. Yeah, that was impeachable, he said. He also said that Jim Comey's memo of his conversations with Trump was impeachment-worthy, too. He even told Slate.com, please, if he's so impressive, why is he writing for Slate? Whatever. But he told Slate that the president doesn't actually have the freedom of speech and should be impeached simply for saying things that Noah Feldman doesn't like. Okay. The only witness who didn't embarrass himself today was Georgetown University law professor Jonathan Turley. Now, reporters are describing Turley as a GOP witness, implying that he's a partisan or a right-winger or a Republican even, but he's none of those things. Turley, who has come on the show quite a bit, know him well, is a member of the Democratic Party. He's on the left. He's advocated legalizing polygamy. He wanted George W. Bush tried for war crimes. He's not from the Federalist Society. He doesn't even like Trump. He didn't vote for him. But he called an absurdity where he saw one.
I'm sorry, that was Tucker Carlson, not Sean Hannity. That was Fox's Tucker Carlson on his show, Tucker Carlson Tonight, on December 5, giving his take on these law professors testifying before Congress on the constitutionality of impeaching President Trump. So here we are with another left-wing attack on those evil, sanctimonious, pampered white males. Look out. They'll get you every time if they can get away with it. And it's time people put a stop to it. And, oh yeah, Trump named his son Barron so he could somehow be made into some kind of nobility, right? While all this left-wing impeachment hysteria was raging in Washington, an event of great significance occurred last week in the United Kingdom. If you've been following the news, then you know that the UK's conservative pro-Brexit, that is the exit of Britain from the European Union, Tory party, the pro-Brexit Tory party, won a landslide election victory, even picking up seats in traditional pro-socialist Labour Party territory, delivering a crushing political defeat to Labour and its efforts to keep the UK from exiting the European Union. This was not only a huge win for conservatives there, but a stunning repudiation of the communist and globalist dream of eventual world government. I read that Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn had declared that the only reason Marxism hasn't worked is that it hasn't been properly tried. It shows that, like many people in the U.S., the people of the British Isles don't want to surrender their sovereignty to a new world order of globalist governance. And looking over the many news videos about the U.K. Tory election victory, the greatest since Margaret Thatcher's back in the 1980s, I saw that many of them were presenting their typical left-wing slant on the event, with some predicting dire consequences for the U.K. as a result. Here's an excerpt from a report by Britain's Channel 4 News on the election, starting off with noting that Conservative leader Boris Johnson was off to see the Queen after his historic victory. Play soundbite 3, please.
Off to see the Queen after not just a victory, but a landslide. A traditional Labour seat after voted Conservative, giving Boris Johnson their best results since the 1980s. And the political landscape of the nation changed beyond recognition. The morning after the seismic night before began with a victory lap.
He walks into this room, a Prime Minister transformed, gone from being the leader of a zombie government to one with a thumping majority. And with that majority comes the freedom and the power to govern as he wishes.
So the question, just how will he want to govern? As the centrist One Nation Tory who was London Mayor, or the man who reached out to the most Eurosceptic wings of the party? We may have got a glimpse during his victory speech.
I have a message to all those who voted for us yesterday, especially those who voted for us Conservatives, One Nation Conservatives, for the first time. You may only have lent us your vote, and you may not think of yourself as a natural Tory. Your hand may have quivered over the ballot paper as before you put your cross in the Conservative box. And you may intend to return to Labour next time round. And if that is the case, I am humbled that you have put your trust in me and that you have put your trust in us. And I and we will never take your support for granted.
Well, as you might expect, news of this historic Conservative landslide election victory was met by our leftist-dominated media here in the U.S. with exclamations of shock and, of course, accusations that it was accomplished through racism, xenophobia, etc. Here's a soundbite from Rush Limbaugh commenting on the remarks of a former Hillary Clinton aide on this U.K. historic election.
Former Hillary Clinton aide blames unadulterated racism and xenophobia for Boris Johnson's victory. Folks, we have exposed the American left. It's just a matter of the American people absorbing it. They really have run out of any substantive objection. I mean, if this is it, one of Hillary Clinton's former aides reacted to Boris Johnson, the Conservative Party victory in the UK election, by tying racism and bigotry and homophobia. And that's it. They just don't know what to do. They literally, when they can't explain something, it's racism.
It's bigotry.
It's sexism. It's homophobia. This guy's named Peter Dow, who was Clinton's internet director during her 2008 presidential campaign, expressed his displeasure with the results on Twitter. Never underestimate the impact of unadulterated racism and xenophobia in the election of right-wing white males around the world. What does that tell you about who this guy is? This guy, without my even knowing, I can tell you exactly who this guy is. Unadulterated racism and xenophobia in the election of right-wing white males around the world. If you don't think that is a systematic, strategic assault on the founding of the United States of America, then you need to wake up. Because that's what that criticism is. That's what they are attempting to overthrow. That's what they're attempting to undermine. That's what they're attempting to transform away from. The problem with America has always been that it was founded by white racists, white supremacists. And they are trying to guilt as many white men as they can, starting in kindergarten all the way through grade school and middle school and high school and certainly into college. Gigantic guilt trip.
As much as I'd like to, I don't heartily share Limbaugh's optimism that enough of the American people are being woken up to what the left is really up to. When you consider the enormous power of the leftist-dominated mainstream media to condition and control the thinking of so many millions of people, the enormous sums of money from social institutions, government entities, and corporations here in the U.S. and around the world, which are benefiting from and promoting world government and the surrender of our sovereignty to organizations like the United Nations and our wealth to countries like communist China, it's all rather frightening. One major player on the political left who's working diligently to transform America into his vision of an open society and to utterly destroy Donald Trump is billionaire financier George Soros. We see Soros' fingerprints on so many things occurring toward his goals today that I'd like to take a closer look at Soros and some of his activities. Many of you may be familiar with Soros as a billionaire hedge fund manager, but you may not know the extent to which this man is dedicated to the radical transformation of America as we have known it, or his similar objectives for countries around the world. More and more governments and people in the world are becoming aware of what Soros is and works for with his many billions and are rejecting him and his meddling in their affairs. We'll hear more about this in a few minutes. But first, let's listen to a few audio clips about some of Soros's activities in recent years. Here's one from then Fox's Bill O'Reilly on the O'Reilly Factor from August 16, 2016, discussing Soros and his support for Hillary Clinton. Play soundbite 5, please.
George Soros, the Democratic Party, and Hillary Clinton. That is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. As you may know, the 85-year-old billionaire is a far-left fanatic whose open society organization advocates no borders anywhere in the world. According to Soros, everyone should be able to go wherever they want for any reason and stay there. Recently, hackers believed to be backed by Russia exposed more than 2,000 documents connected to Soros and his open society. The information, very disturbing. Soros has given about $10 million to groups opposed to the policies of Israel. He has funded individuals accusing Israel of war crimes. He has given a variety of grants to people who literally hate the Jewish state of Israel. In addition, Soros has funded investigations of individuals here in the USA who are opposed to radical Islam. People like Pamela Geller, Frank Gaffney, Liz Cheney, and Cliff May. Mr. May will be here in just a few moments. Finally, George Soros has donated about $13 million to the Democrats this election cycle. That includes $7 million to a Hillary Clinton super PAC. 12 years ago, here's what Mrs. Clinton said about George Soros.
We have been given an extraordinary blessing, and at this moment in time, our country needs us, and we need people like George Soros, who is fearless and willing to step up when it counts.
Now, to be fair, that soundbite is dated, but the Clinton campaign is accepting money from Soros this year, as stated, and that may present a problem for the secretary. You may remember that Donald Trump got hammered by the media for not disavowing David Duke quickly enough. Duke, of course, a far-right hater. But now we have a far-left individual, Soros, bent on harming Israel, America's strongest ally in the Middle East. So how will the media cover that? Again, Soros, one of the biggest donors to the Democratic Party. Talking Points believes the mainstream press will largely ignore the Soros story, even though it's very important.
Here's Fox's Lou Dobbs on his Lou Dobbs Tonight Show, October 17, 2017, discussing the incredible, essentially tax-exempt, far-left political activism of Soros and his transferring some $18 billion of his personal wealth into his Open Society Foundation to further that activism. Play number six, please.
What's the difference between philanthropy and political activism? Well, there's none if your name is George Soros. He's stepping up his efforts politically to back every leftist in the country and to work as hard as he can against President Trump and his agenda. The left-wing billionaire transferring $18 billion to his Open Society Foundation. That makes it the second largest foundation in the country, and it's all about politics. Soros lost $1 billion because he bet against Donald Trump, his election, and the markets. And he obviously had little use for conservatives even before that. Joining me now, Matt Slapp, chairman of the American Conservative Union. Matt, good to have you with us. Great to be here, Lou. Let's start with, we'll get to all of the day's political developments, but it's fascinating to me that George Soros has a foundation dedicated to political activism, left-wing activism, anti-American activism, I believe, in many examples, and he gets to do it through a tax-exempt foundation. What are you kidding me?
Yeah, and isn't it amazing that you have these smallish Tea Party groups that get persecuted, prosecuted by the IRS, but I've never heard George Soros even have a nasty letter from the IRS for all this political activity he's running through a C3 foundation.
Yeah, and do you think he should be stopped?
I think that what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And why is it in politics that people who have a conservative and free market point of view are always attacked, but people on the left seem to get off scot-free? I would be okay with an audit of the Open Society Foundation. I think it'd be a good thing.
Well, I think that you've come upon a Solomon-like solution here.
Right.
The fact of the matter is, I don't understand why we give tax exemptions to any group involved in politics. It is a strange idea to me, an alien idea, if you will. What do you think?
Well, that's what, you know why, Lou? Because you have a proper interpretation of the law, and that if you get a tax deduction for your contribution, it's because that entity is supposed to be helping a society with some kind of charitable purpose. And unfortunately, electioneering, which is really the term and the line that George Soros crosses constantly, should not qualify for that tax exemption. So yeah. What you're actually doing is looking at the law and interpreting it correctly. Now, maybe the government should as well.
And this is an excerpt of a speech the supposed economic and political guru George Soros made at the World Economic Forum's annual meeting in Davos, Switzerland, January 25th, 2018, in which Soros calls the Trump administration a danger to the world and make some predictions about its future. Play soundbite seven, please.
Clearly, I consider the Trump administration a danger to the world, but I regard it as a purely temporary phenomenon that will disappear in 2020 or even sooner. I give President Trump credit for motivating his core supporters brilliantly. But for every core supporter, he has created a greater number of core opponents who are equally strongly motivated. That's why I expect a Democratic landslide in 2018.
while there wasn't a Democratic landslide election sweep in the 2018 midterm elections, the Democrats, that is the political left, did make significant gains across the country and took over the U.S. House of Representatives, setting off the current wave of impeachment proceedings. We'll see what happens in 2020, but as I've said, I'm rather worried. This is not to say that there aren't people out there rallying to Trump and the conservatives' political point of view, but I'm not so sure. People dismissed the media's power, the mainstream media, in the past to influence people, and look what happened in 2018, although it wasn't the blue wave they were hoping for across the country, but it was still pretty significant. Now let's hear from YouTube's Dr. Steve Turley on his October 1, 2019 show on the growing resentment and ejection of Soros and his network of organizations for meddling in the affairs of countries around the world. Obviously, Dr. Turley is taking a more positive view on what is going on with Soros today. Please play soundbite 8.
All right there, everyone. It's time to have a little fun here. George Soros has now been officially banned from 6 different nations. That's what we're going to be talking about in today's video. That's right. As we're seeing Soros's fingerprints around the so-called whistleblower's complaint that references Soros-funded organizations several times in its dossier, or his fingerprints behind the chaos going on in the British Parliament in the hopes of sabotaging Brexit with his funding of a Remainer organization called Best for Britain, even with his fingerprints in proximity to 16-year-old environmentalist Greta, how dare you, Thunberg, in terms of her guide who works for a Soros-funded organization, I thought this would be a wonderful opportunity for us to sit back and count the number of nations that have formally and officially banned George Soros and his open society from their borders. All told, George Soros has now been expelled from 6 different nations, from the Philippines, Hungary, Russia, Poland, Turkey, and Pakistan, which of course raises the question, which nations are going to expel him next? You see, this is something that Soros and his cronies are going to have to get used to. In a world that's more and more turning to nation, culture, custom, and tradition as the basis for a sustainable social order, the ultra-liberal globalist vision of Soros will not only appear more and more implausible and futile, it will actually begin to be seen more and more as a threat, a very real threat to the unity and stability of a conservative, nationalist, traditionalist vision of life.
It was interesting that one of the countries who has ejected Soros and his groups from meddling in their affairs was the Philippines. And I read their leader Duarte's comments regarding Soros, in which I believe he said, he was addressing Soros directly, and he said, there's a special place in hell for you, and if you so much as set foot in the Philippines, I will personally take you there. I believe Soros did not go and visit the Philippines after that. Well, I certainly hope that Turley's right here. But it seems that Soros and his group of left-wing activist organizations seem to be going stronger than ever here in the USA. Soros-funded organizations have even been accused of financing and organizing those massive immigrant caravans from Central America that have recently been moving up through Mexico and demanding entrance to the U.S. as refugees and other legal immigrants en masse. This was clearly an attempt to overwhelm the USA with these people. There have also been allegations the caravans were supported by the United Nations and other entities, but clearly the intent, as I said here, is to flood the U.S. with third world poor and take over and redistribute the wealth here, of course, among many other things. It's amazing to me that thus far no one has been able to definitely pinpoint the funding support of the caravans. One thing is certain, however, they are not spontaneous events, as the left would like us to believe. While there's no doubt been a groundswell of support for President Trump and his policies as a result of the unprecedented attacks on his administration by the Democrats and other left-wing groups, will it be enough to really turn things around politically? I recently saw a political ad in which a picture of Trump pointing at the viewer is shown, and Trump is quoted as stating something to the effect of, they're not after me, actually, they're after you. I'm just in the way. I heard this ad was later banned on certain platforms. But it has a strong point. As I've long advocated, We're in an information war that will be critical in determining the future of America. Political ads may have some effect, but they are not nearly enough to counter the staggering influence of the political left through its domination of the mainstream media and so many of our educational, governmental, and social organizations and institutions. What's needed, for starters, are powerful video and audio documentaries getting the truth and conservative perspective out to the masses. For example, why not a powerful short documentary with longer version available, detailing the lies and trickery of the left in its attempts to turn the public against Trump and exposing the outrageous hypocrisy of the left? Among other things, that while the leftists have been constantly beating the drums invoking Trump, Russia, and now Ukraine, collusion, bribery, abuse of power, etc., the evidence is all about the Democratic parties involved in such things. I mean, wasn't it Joe Biden who's shown in a video at the Council of, on Foreign Relations bragging about how he demanded and got the firing of a Ukrainian prosecutor investigating allegations of corruption of a Ukrainian energy company, one of whose directors was Biden's son? Wasn't it the Hillary Clinton campaign and Democratic Party who paid for the infamous and totally unverified Steele dossier used by the FBI to spy on the Trump campaign? Wasn't it entities associated with the Russian government, which made some $147 million in contributions to the Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea Clinton Foundation, while Hillary Clinton was U.S. Secretary of State, and the Russian government had a proposal, later approved, before the State Department, to gain control of 20% of U.S. uranium production? And during the same time, wasn't it a bank associated with the Russian government that flew old Bill Clinton to Moscow and paid him $500,000 for a single one of his vacuous speeches? These are things that need to be shown more clearly to the American people before they cast votes in the upcoming presidential and other national and local elections next year. I'm hoping that the Republican Party will be considering more of a concerted effort in terms of this information war and getting the truth out, their side of things out to the people before this election occurs. Well, that's it for another show. As always, I hope you found what we presented of interest. We'll be back 2 weeks from today in the same time slot. Have a good evening and happy holidays.